with Dr. Keith Suter.
Good morning, Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Brent.
Mr. Starmer is just the fourth person to lead Labour to electoral victory in Britain. I read this yesterday or last night, Keith, and I was surprised. The party has won, 410 or something like that, 410 seats. Now, it's a landslide, delivering them power for the first time in 14 years. But the size of this victory hasn't been seen for a long time, Keith.
No, it hasn't. And the irony is that back in 2019, when we had the last general election, they occur every 5 years, the Conservatives got one of their best results ever, and they squandered it all in 5 years through corruption and incompetence, etc. They just lost what they gained. And the Labour Party, years ago, sustained the worst defeat that it had ever had for 90 years. And yet here we see it bouncing back, doing extremely well indeed. So it shows how volatile the public can be.
For the new Prime Minister, it's a massive triumph, but with triumph, it brings a lot of huge challenges for him. Tell us some of them as you see it, Keith.
Yeah, sure. So the basic problem is that Britain is broke. So we've had years of paying for, well, originally the global financial crisis, then it was followed up by an austerity program, then by COVID, then you've had the Russian invasion of Ukraine, which has disrupted trade. So Keir Starmer is not in a position to promise very much because he just simply doesn't have the money in Treasury, and on the contrary, he's having to pay off a lot of debts that the British government have racked up over the last few years. So there's a lack of money. There's a problem with the National Health Service. And of course, there is also the cost of living crisis. So he's inheriting a basket case. I think the great value of him is that it's no drama Starmer. In other words, that after all these years of colourful rulers like Boris Johnson, we've moved away from charismatic politicians to somebody who's got all the charisma of a plank of wood. But perhaps that's what the British want at this time. They want someone who's going to promise stability and get things under control rather than be providing us with drama on the evening news every day.
It's a huge majority for the Labour Party, isn't it?
It is. It's a huge majority. It brings with it all sorts of problems, because if a backbencher knows that they've got a huge majority, the backbenchers can afford to play up a bit and cause problems. And it's interesting because we've had at least one Labour MP who's lost their seat to a candidate campaigning on Palestinian issues. A reminder that Britain has got a large Islamic population and that you can now mobilise that for your own political ends. So, yes, Labour goes into this new government with a huge majority, but then, you know, it can so easily be whittled away and have all sorts of internal problems that will just gradually lead to its dissolution.
I see Liz Truss, the shortest serving Prime Minister in British history. She lost her seat by less than 700 votes. It doesn't matter whether you lose it by 700 or just by 7. She still has lost her seat. And as I said, the shortest serving Prime Minister in British history. People will forget her name. They've probably already forgotten it. In fact, forget that she was ever, ever the Prime Minister of the UK.
That's right. So she, in fact, survived less than a lettuce on a supermarket shelf. that's what she'll be. If anybody remembers her, it'll be for the comparison with the lettuce. So, yes. And also Jacob Rees-Mogg, who's one of the more colourful characters on the extreme right of the Conservative Party, he lost his seat as well. So Grant Shapps, who's more middle of the road as Defence Minister, he's lost his seat. So one of the problems for whoever is going to become leader of the new Conservative Party, whatever's left of it, will simply be a lack of talent because they've lost so many of their people. So it's an interesting situation for a new Conservative Party leader, because they've got to start really from a position of square one in terms of trying to rebuild the party. So it may well be that if Labour behaves itself, Labour could be in power for the next 10 years. But we know from the way the politicians behave that politicians will no doubt inevitably end up with their own problems. As I say, 5 years ago, the Conservatives had a record majority, which they've managed to squander.
You said that Labor could be in power for the next 10 years if they do the right thing. Nigel Farage, he doesn't want that. I saw yesterday, well, his Reform UK, it's poised for a major electoral breakthrough. They're starting to give final figures now. But one of the articles I was reading yesterday, Keith, with him bouncing back, he was talking about possibly, you know, being Prime Minister by 2029.
Oh, I think that's a bit of an exaggeration. But he is a good example of a colourful performer, I've got to say. The Reform political party is out on the far right. It's going to want, it wants to set itself up as the new Conservative Party, so to speak, in British politics. So he's decided that the existing Conservative Party is not up to the task, and that he's going to provide something which is going to be much more resilient and have long-standing power. I think on current indications, he'll have about four MPs in a house of 600 odd. So he's got a long way to go, but clearly has prime ministerial ambitions, and perhaps getting some people who are currently in the Conservative Party to resign from the party and join his new party.
I see that the Prime Minister, the Australian Prime Minister, was quick to congratulate Mr. Starmer. However, the Labor Party and Keir Starmer, they're pro-nuclear in the UK, which is completely different to the approach that the Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, and the Labor Party here in Australia are. That'll be interesting to follow that.
It will be interesting because we are all linked through AUKUS, the Australian, UK-US New Defence Alliance. So they're already on the same wavelength in that respect. But the future of nuclear power in Great Britain is not particularly glorious, I don't think. I don't think that'll be a major issue. Britain has already got nuclear power because it was part of acquiring the nuclear weapons all those decades ago. But it's not a major provider of power in the UK. And I don't think that's going to be a major issue of dissension between the Australian and British Labour governments.
If I may just touch on the US election, I see the latest is Joe Biden has said he is proud to be the first black woman to serve with a black president. I suppose it's one of a series of verbal gaffes that he has made after that disastrous debate with Donald Trump. I see it's got to the stage now, Keith, where in opinion polls, his deputy, Kamala Harris, is actually now more popular than Joe Biden.
Yeah. I think the tragedy of Biden is that whatever drugs they're giving him means that he has this very uneven set of performances. So he was brilliant for the State of the Union address at the beginning of the year. He was a disaster last week for the debate against President Trump. Obviously, by this speech in the Midwest that he gave a few hours ago, a fresh lot of energy, and his mouth was running away from him, saying that he's a female black colleague of President Obama. The worry I've got is that we're not just talking about somebody who's got to win on November the 5th, which is the date of the presidential election, but we want to have somebody, if he wins that election, who's going to be on top form for 4 years, beginning in January of next year. And I don't think Biden will be, which is why I think pressures on him will continue for him to stand down and for someone like Kamala Harris to replace him as the main candidate.
Do you think, Keith, looking into your crystal ball, because you're pretty good at this, do you think it will end up with him standing down?
I think at the moment, no, but that could change in the next few days. If they're going to have to make a change, it's got to be done very quickly indeed. He loves the job. He's betrayed the promise that he hinted at 4 years ago when he said that he would be the bridge between the old Democrat Party and the emerging leadership, which gave us the impression that he was going to be in there only for 4 years. Then having got the job, he really enjoyed it. And also, I think he entertains doubts about whether or not Kamala Harris could actually beat Donald Trump, which is why he wants to stay on. But I think there will be increasing pressures on him to stand down. The decision is for him to make. The party can't force it upon him. And I think there are some people who say, well, this guy deserves the support, but he's going to take down the Democrat Party with him. So perhaps we need to increase the pressure to get him to stand down and have someone like Kamala Harris as the main contender. At the moment, you'd have to say it's Donald Trump who's going to win in November.
Yes. And he was, fist pumping and all sorts of things, I imagine, in private this week with the decision by the Supreme Court.
Yes, so the Supreme Court has actually reinstalled a situation that led up to the American Revolution. They've now created a king for America, saying that there are situations in which the president can't be held accountable through the normal legal system, which is putting back the clock, back beyond 1776. It's a crazy decision. If people really want to get worried today and avoid avoid having any sleep tonight, the document to read is called the 2025 program. So this, the argument is that Donald Trump, when he came to power previously, was not prepared to serve in the White House. You know, it's all completely new to him, limited government experience, that sort of thing. This time round, if Donald Trump is elected as president, he will come to power with everything laid out, with the demolition of existing government departments, etc. And it's in this 2025 document, which is available on the internet, runs to about 1,000 pages. And they're going to wind back controls over environmental protection, certain health issues, etc. So we know what Americans are letting themselves in for, except that most Americans aren't bothering to read a 1,000-page document. But it is a real insight as to what the extreme right hope to achieve if Donald Trump becomes the next president.
All right, Keith, we always enjoy our chats. Thank you so much for taking the time on a weekend to talk to us. We appreciate it, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Indeed. Thanks so much, Brent.
Thank you, Keith. That's Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions.